want to welcome you to our evening broadcast. We thank you sincerely for listening, and we ask you to take the time just to share this broadcast on with others. Can I just remind you of some announcements? We remind you that our midweek meeting will take place in the church building this coming Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. It'll take the form of a missionary deputation. It will be a deputation and a presentation on behalf of our radio ministry and television ministry, Let the Bible Speak. There will be a missionary offering for LTBS at the close of that service. So we do encourage you, if you can, come along and join with us. Remember, the service is next Lord's Day, 11:30 a.m. The morning service will be here in the church building. All the social distancing guidelines will be observed. At 6:30 in the evening, our evening service will be broadcast. Remember that for the foreseeable future, there's going to be no evening service in the building. But that service, that message will be broadcast on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and YouTube. So please make all of these meetings known. We would value your prayers for them very much indeed. We'd be very glad of your presence if you're able to come along to any of the meetings that are being held in the church just at this time. We're going to read together from the Word of God. We're turning this evening to the Old Testament Scriptures, to the book of Joshua. It's to the second chapter of the book of Joshua. We're reading together the opening verses. It's the first four verses. And then we're going down the chapter to read verse 15 and verse 18. So let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. Joshua chapter 2 and the verse 1. And it tells us, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And then going down to verse 15, it tells us, Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And then finally the verse 18, Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." So just ending the reading there this evening, the close of the verse 18. And we do pray earnestly the Lord will bless to every heart this reading from his own inspired word. Let's just take a moment to pray. Pray for the Lord's help in the ministry. Pray that the Lord will take his word and speak powerfully and even savingly through it. Father, we just seek thee in prayer. We cry to thee for your blessing in all its fullness to be upon this broadcast and upon this recording. We want to pray, Father, that you'll take your word. We pray that you'll use the message. We remember the promise that your word will not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish the thing whereto you've sent it. So, Lord, our prayer is that you will speak through your word as it goes forth, even over the internet. We pray that you'll speak powerfully to many hearts. We pray you'll come and settle our hearts, even as we come to the ministry now. Take away every distraction, every distracting thought, Father. We want to pray for the mothers in our congregation and in our family circles on this special Mother's Day. Thank you, Father, for a mother's love and a mother's care. Pray that you'll bless and encourage every mother and every grandmother in our congregation, especially, Father, those that are mothers in Israel, those that know the Lord. Pray that you'll use their influence in the bringing up of their children and their grandchildren in the things of God. Remember the Free Presbyterian denomination, even at this special time of 70th anniversary. We want to pray, Father, for you to come and pour out your blessing again in great power upon our meetings and upon our witness in our own land here and even across the earth. Lord, our prayer and our earnest prayer would be, wilt thou not revive us again? Our fathers told us, what thou didst do in their day, we rejoice in the great exploits for God that they did. And Father, how you took them up and used them mightily, especially in great soul-winning exploits. And Father, we would pray, give to us again in this day, even those times of reaping. So Father, hear our cries and come and grant us now the enduement of power from on high. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're taking as our text for the message this evening the first verse of Joshua chapter 2. It tells us, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So especially the words towards the end of the verse, and come into an harlot's house named Rahab. Generally, in recent years, at our evening gospel service on Mother's Day, we would have had a mother from the congregation give a personal word of testimony. This evening we're going to consider a testimony together, a testimony from the Scriptures. The theme for the message this evening is the amazing conversion of Boaz's mother. And that's really what we're reading about here in this passage of Scripture. We're reading how Rahab's life was transformed by the mighty power of the gospel. Many years ago, when we lived in South Wales, I was asked to take part in a radio phone-in. It was on the subject of the legalization of prostitution. That was something that the government was seeking to bring in at that particular time. During that radio phone-in, they had a prostitute that would phone in and take part, contribute to the discussion. We had the opportunity during that phone-in to witness to that prostitute and to present to her the claims of the gospel. And I want you to see, men and women, that in this chapter that is before us, we read about a prostitute. It's a chapter that's all about a brothel in ancient Jericho. But what I want you to see especially is that this is not the story of a brothel being opened, but this is the story of a brothel being closed. It was closed down. And it was closed down by the mighty power of the gospel. This is a chapter that tells us about the harlot's house in Jericho. But it's the story of how the harlot's house was made holy. It's a testimony to the greatness of God's grace. So let's look at this story together this evening under the title of The Amazing Conversion of the Woman Who Became Boaz's Mother. Some things about Rahab I want you to notice. First of all, think of Rahab's character. The verse 1 says that the spies came into an harlot's house. Rahab is known throughout the Scriptures as the harlot. In other words, she was a prostitute. And we all know what that means. She was a woman of the street. She ran a brothel. She ran a house of ill repute. She was known in that city of Jericho for her adultery and for her immorality. In fact, the Greek word that is used for harlot, used of Rahab in the New Testament Scriptures, is the Greek word from which we get our English word pornographic. So it's clear. She was a woman who was guilty of gross sexual sins. And she had made a lot of money from her evil trade. Remember that she owned her own house, and the house was on the wall. You always pay for the view. That sort of house is harder to buy. So her sins had made her rich. So Rahab was a harlot. There's no doubt, men and women, that she was a great sinner. And perhaps the same is true of you, someone listening to this broadcast this evening. You may not be involved in immorality, but perhaps you're the wickedest person in this area. You're the chief of sinners in this city of Armagh, maybe in the whole South Armagh area, or in the locality where you live, wherever that may be. And if you are, if you're the chief of sinners, let me tell you why we are making these broadcasts. It is so that we can tell you about a great Savior. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. Wherefore he is able, that's speaking of Christ. Think of his ability, of his great power, of his saving power. He's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. It has sometimes been said, the message of the gospel can be summed up like this, that Christ our Savior can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And that's what the Lord Jesus did for Rahab the harlot. He reached down into the gutter and he lifted her up from the depths of her sins. That was her testimony, men and women. And we want you to know that that is what he will do for you as well. But let me say to everyone listening, don't make the mistake of looking down on Rahab. Don't be full of pride and self-righteousness. Don't say like the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men or other women are. I thank thee that I'm not like Rahab. Because remember this, regardless of whether you're moral or immoral, regardless of whether you're religious or irreligious, the Bible declares that there's no difference. All have sinned and all are guilty before God. And that includes you today, whoever you are. A lady once came to Mr. Moody, the evangelist. She was very angry. She had listened to one of his gospel messages. She said to him afterwards, do you tell me that I must get to heaven the same way as the murderers and the thieves? Mr. Moody replied, no, madam, God does. And that's the reality, men and women. You need to be saved. You need God's salvation today every bit as much as Rahab the harlot did. And I pray God will open your eyes to see that even through this message. So that's Rahab's character. Think also of Rahab's condemnation. Can I remind you that the city of Jericho was a condemned city? God had given the command to Israel concerning the Canaanites back in the book of Deuteronomy, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. So Jericho was a condemned city. And it was a city that was condemned to death. They were not to be wounded. They were not to be taken prisoner. They were not condemned to slavery. They were a people who were condemned to die. And remember that that was the prospect of every person in the city, including Rahab, including the harlot. She too was condemned to death, condemned to judgment. Can I remind you, men and women, as we think of that truth, can I remind you of the teaching of the New Testament scriptures? He that believeth not, maybe that describes you. You've never come to that place where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He that believeth not is condemned already. If you're out of Christ, then this is your position. You're under God's condemnation. The sentence has already been passed upon you. And we want to tell you today, on the authority of God's word, there's a great white throne judgment. There is a lake of fire. There is a second death. We want to warn you of those things. We want to warn you today of judgment to come. We want to plead with you to flee from the wrath to come. Remember what is recorded in the book of Job? Because there is wrath, beware. And you need to beware today, men and women. Because every day that you live out of Christ, every day that you live rejecting God's salvation, that means that you're a day nearer to the judgment. You think of the words that Solomon recorded in the book of Proverbs. Perhaps they describe you. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. I wonder, is that true of you, my friend? You've often been reproved. You've often been spoken to about your soul. You've often been told of your need of Christ, but still you're not saved. Still you're without hope for eternity. Mr. Torrey tells the story of a young lad that he had heard of. A young lad came from London. He was brought up in a godly home. Mother had often witnessed to him of the things of God. She spoke to him one day again about his soul. He refused to come to Christ, and he determined that day that he was going to get as far away from home as he could, so he moved away up to the north of England. He found himself some lodgings there. The lady that owned that place, the place where he was staying, she was a believer too, a godly woman. She felt for this young man so far away from home, and so she slipped the gospel tract under his pillow. That first night away from home, he was restless, couldn't sleep. And as he put his hand under the pillow, he felt this piece of paper, wondered what it was, put the light on, and he saw it was a gospel tract. And he read through it, and he thought to himself, here am I trying to get away from the pleadings of my mother, and I find this gospel tract speaking to my soul. He said, I think it's time that I give in. And that's what he did that night. He repented of his sins, and he came to Jesus Christ in salvation. And maybe it's the same for you, my friend. Maybe it's time that you give in as well. It's time for you to yield to Christ and to his offer of salvation. You say, why? Because there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're like those in Rahab's house. They have been delivered from condemnation. There's something else I want you to think about. That's Rahab's conversion. Can I point out, men and women, that the book of Joshua begins with a number of great miracles. There was the miracle of the water. Remember, the Lord opened up the River Jordan. That was the second time the children of Israel had witnessed a miracle such as that. Because remember, the Lord opened up the Red Sea for them as they came out of Egypt. There was also the miracle of the walls. The walls of Jericho fell down. If you study the passage carefully, especially the marginal readings, you'll see the walls of Jericho fell down flat, except for the place in those walls where Rahab's house stood. The miracle of the walls. But there was also the miracle of the woman. The woman, of course, is Rahab. Her life was changed. And her life was changed by a miracle of grace. George Beverly Shea used to sing that lovely gospel hymn, "It Took a Miracle to Put the Stars in Space. It took a miracle to hang the world in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace." And this woman's life experienced such a miracle of grace. She experienced the power of the gospel. Rahab was made a new creature. The prostitute was made pure. The harlot was made holy. She's commended in Hebrews chapter 11 for her faith. So what a change, men and women. What a transformation there was in this woman's life. Do you remember in the genealogy that is given of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 that four women are named? That's very interesting. Rahab was one of those four women. Three of the four were immoral. They had an immoral background. So what a wonder, men and women. Three immoral women in the line of Christ our Savior. Doesn't that show the greatness of God's love and the greatness of God's grace? Job asked that great question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Well, the answer is the Lord can. His blood, men and women, can make the foulest clean. Here is the story of the Jericho sinner saved. And I want to tell you that he can save you too, if you will let him, if you will come to him today for mercy. There's one other thing that I want you to see just about Rahab. That's Rahab's cord. If you look at verse 15 of the chapter, It says, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And then if you look at verse 18, there's another reference to the cord. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. So Rahab had to tie the scarlet cord in the window. She had to tie that cord and none other. The cord was the means of escape. We could describe it as the cord of salvation. It was the cord that saved the spies. And it was the same cord that saved Rahab and her whole family at that time. The scarlet sinner was saved by the scarlet cord. And remember, let me highlight for you that that cord speaks of the blood of Christ, our Savior. You think of the question, where did they get the scarlet from in order to make the scarlet cord? It came from a little grub called the cochineal, that they would have crushed that little grub. And the blood that came from the little grub is what they used to make the scarlet dye. Do you remember in the Psalms, prophetically, the Lord said, I am a worm and no man. It's a reference to that little grub, and to the crushing of it reminds us of his sufferings. So the cord speaks of the blood. It speaks of the sacrifice, speaks of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the scarlet cord, men and women. That is the scarlet thread that runs right throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And the message of the Bible is this. It's the blood that saves. It's the blood alone that can cleanse away your sins. Remember the book of Leviticus? It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Think of Paul's words in the Hebrews. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Or in other words, there is no forgiveness. Do you remember that great statement in the book of Exodus? In connection with the Passover, the first Passover in Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So men and women, be in no doubt today, it's the blood that saves the soul. And the blood of Christ can cleanse and save your soul too, if you'll come to him today for mercy. Just in closing, let me mention to you, many years ago in Michigan, in the United States, there was an evangelist preaching earnestly one evening in a gospel meeting on the words of Ecclesiastes 3:15, God requireth that which is past. One that was in the congregation that night was a lady, listening intently to all that was said. After the meeting, even the very next day, she testified that she was troubled, she was concerned about her soul in the light of eternity. But she chose to refuse salvation at that time. She chose to go on unsaved. A short time later, she had an accident at the petrol station where she worked, was rushed to the hospital. She only lingered for 24 hours or so. But as she lay there in the hospital bed, she repeated these words, my sins, I haven't settled with God about my past sins. And I want you to think about that, men and women. Can I ask you the question as we close the message this evening? Have you settled with God about your past, about your sins? The truth of this passage of Scripture is that Rahab had. They were cleansed. They were under the blood of the Savior. And I want to plead with you today to do the same. On this Mother's Day, the evening of Mother's Day, you think of the amazing conversion of Boaz's mother, the lady that became Boaz's mother, that we read about here in this chapter. And as you think of the great transformation in her life, remember this, the Lord can do the same for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. So I pray the Lord will bless this message. May he please to use it, to speak through it, even to the saving of your soul. Just a wee word of prayer as we finish. Father, we thank you today for the message of the gospel. We rejoice in the good news of one that loved us, died for us. We want to thank you for all that you've told us in your word. Thank you for what we have considered in this story of Rahab, of the greatness of your grace. And Lord, we want to just ask that you'll use this message. We pray it will please thee to bless the broadcast. We pray that you'll overrule with regard to those that hear this message. Our prayer is that you'll speak through it. We thank you for the power of the gospel. We remember that Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Lord, we want to pray that all across our land there will be those that will feel the power of God's word and whose lives will be completely changed by the mighty power of God. So hear our cries and our prayers. Just settle us now, and Lord, take up this broadcast and use it to your glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.